Ruokatunnilla mukana Stockmannin herkku.
Tervetuloa Radio Helsinkiin ja Ruokatunnille. Täällä taas Radio Helsingin ruokaisen erikois Mirkut Pipsämeri tuli studiossa.
Tervetuloa minunkin puolesta. Ihana maanantai, ylläri, mahtava lumisade yhtäkkiä hyökkäsi meidän niiskaamme ja kasteli pitaleipämme matkalla tänne radiolle.
Se ei haittaa. Mä oon ihan varma, että tämä mieletön talvi tarkoittaa sattua sään seksihelle ensi kesänä, että semmoista ei ole ennen nähtykään. Mutta täällä ruokatunnilla puhutaan taas siis ruoasta, ravintoloista, kokeista, kaikesta, mikä edes jollain lailla löyhästi liittyy ruokabisnekseen, sillä ruokabisnes on meidän bisnes.
We love it. Rakastetaan syödä ruokaa ja tehdä ruokaa ja puhua siitä joka maanantai tunnin ajan.
Kyllä. Tämä
on mahtava, kun meille on annettu tämä mahdollisuus. Ja viime viikolla me puhuttiin kokkibrändeistä. Meillä oli aiheena Markus Samuelsson, hänen ravintolamaailmansa ja miten kokeista tehdään brändi, joka levitetään ympäri maailman. Ja tänään me puhutaan ravintola- ja pikaruokabrändeistä. Suomalaiset rakastaa pikaruokaa.
Kyllä.
Ja varsinkin sen jälkeen, kun tuli tämä ei surullisen kuuluisa, se oli väärällä tavalla kuvattu, mutta siis tämä street food boomi, joka oli jotenkin niin kuin aivan käsittämätön. Et mun mielestä siinä kohtaa, kun jollain tällaisella työpaikkaruokalla ketjulla oli semmoinen brändi kuin Street Food Bistro, niin mä ajattelin, että nyt on ehkä kameli siellä selkä katkenut. Nyt on niin kuin vedetty vähän liian yli.
Nyt on konsultit ollut asialla, kyllä vaan, mutta suomalaiset tosissaan rakastaa pikaruokaa. Taco Bell avattiin viime syksynä Helsinkiin ja siinä oli siis todella monta viikkoa jono. Ihmiset halusi päästä maistamaan näitä keskinkertaisia einestakoja.
Kävitkö siinä?
Ei todellakaan, koska Taco Bell on niin kuin, ei.
Mä oon kerran käynyt syömässä Taco Bellissä Jenkeissä, koska mä olen katsonut Simpsonit ja kaikki, mitä terveen ihmisen kuuluu telkkarista katsoa. Ja mä olin sille, että kyllä mun täytyy niin kuin katsoa tämä Taco Bell, että mistä tässä on kyse. Ja sitten tietenkin mä menin condiment-pöytään, missä on näitä chilikastikkeita pienissä pussukoissa.
Saatko tiedä, ruokamyrkytyksen?
En saanut ruokamyrkytystä, mutta mä olin tosi pettynyt. Ne ei ollut tulisia. Siellä oli tavallaan se niinku extra hot, medium ja sitten se mieto. Ja se extra hot oli sellainen, niinku, että jos sriracha olisi laimentanut 50-50 ketsupilla, niin se maistuu about siltä.
Joo. Mä oon saanut Taco Bellille niin suuret ukasit amerikkalaisilta ystäviltä, jotka on ollut silleen, että jos ikinä haluat pysyä terveenä, niin älä mene Taco Bellin syömään. Mutta siis Suomessahan on esimerkiksi Taco Bellilla nyttökaura, mikä on mun mielestä ihan kiva juttu. Ei siinä mitään. Ei tässä dissata nyt Taco Bellia tän enempää.
Niin.
Joo, mutta myös Burger King avattiin muutama vuosi sitten ihan valtavalla rummutuksella. Suomalaiset oli aivan onnessaan. Sinne jonotettiin myös. Vieläkin tiedän ystäviä, jotka käy siellä syömässä. Mikä tässä pikaruuassa oikein meitä kiehtoo ja missä luuraavat suuret suomalaiset ketjut? Meillä on Hesburger, meillä on Scanburger, meillä on muutamia näitä, mutta missä on se iso suomalainen ketju, joka voisi levittäytyä Eurooppaan?
Ja meillä on vähän niin kuin sellainen tänään käsittelyssä. Meillä on mitä saatu meidän vieraaksi Fafas-ketjun perustaja ja omistaja Doron Karavaani. Tervetuloa mukaan ruokatuntiin.
Hei.
Nice to have you. Nyt vaihdetaan kieli englanniksi, koska Doron on tosissaan Israelista kotoisin, asunut Suomessa monta vuotta, mutta suomen kieli ei ehkä ole vielä se kaikkein mukavin kieli hänille. We're really happy to have you here.
Thank you.
We are going to speak about fast food chain,
yeah,
food
that.
Chains, and your story is definitely a very interesting one. You are originally from Israel.
Yes.
And you met as many lovely people do, you met a lovely Finnish girl in India.
Yeah, many years ago, yeah.
And then came to Helsinki.
Yes.
When was this?
That was, first time I visited was 94.
Okay. How was Helsinki in 94 in the eyes of an Israeli?
There weren't so many. It wasn't so international, no. You wouldn't see too many foreigners either. So, but I at the time I just came and left. I moved to Helsinki, I think, 2002.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So that was already a very different city.
That was already a different city. It has changed for the last 10 years quite a lot.
Especially in the restaurant scene.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So 2002, you decided to bring Ben & Jerry's to Finland, right?
No. 2002, I didn't know much. But I did think what I need to do in order to, stay here and survive here, and I came up with the gastronaut. The
gastronaut.
Idea.
I'm sorry. Yes, that's what it says in my. I have a problem reading, obviously.
That was the first thing, and the idea was great. Yeah, I had a good friend, Seba, who I introduced the idea to, and then he loved it, and we started the business together. But we didn't have capital. I didn't know much. I didn't know nothing. I was 21. So I just walk around the city and visited the restaurants and asked them what they think about the idea. And they loved it. And that's how I got my capital to start.
Fantastic. Well, it's kind of like what Walt did, but
pretty much
10 years later, 15 years later. And I remember Gastronati. We used to order food from Gastronati to studios
many
at the time.
Did.
Yes,
many did.
And it was fantastic because there was nothing. If you were working in a studio outside an area where there were no restaurants, for example, what could you do? People went to picnic or they went to K-Market to buy food and it was terrible.
Yeah, at the time it was in every newspaper. Mm. And I mean, it was... It is a great idea when you don't really have anything. So we managed that for 5 years. We had like 8 cars, Yellow Pages book. Mm. I remember using Nokia phones for calling customers, driving at the same time. It was cool. It was really, really cool. I got to know the streets. Got to know the restaurant owners. I got to know business people because it was a great idea. And that was the start of my business
entrepreneur
career.
Life.
Yes.
Hmm.
And you got hooked straight away. So you guys, you stopped Gastronati in 2007. But
We bankrupt 5 years later. I just gave up in July.
Hmm.
And it was all right. I mean, it was a hard time, but you got to take it. So.
Hmm. What did you learn from the bankruptcy?
A lot. I mean, how you're supposed to administrate a company and how you should handle employees and, you know, the basic things of running a company, because I came from India. I didn't know much. Mm. So, many things.
Mm. I remember for me, I've gone bankrupt after running a business, and it's a really hard time talking about it for the next few years. I think it took me about 4 years before I could actually start going through, talking about it without feeling bad and going through the mistakes that I made. How was it for you?
I talked about it a lot.
Hmm?
Because it was a great business idea and we had fun. We made money, we spent the money. I think the only one that got suffered was the tax office.
Hmm. Good.
So it was not knowing how to manage a company, not having all the resources to do things properly. Mm. So I think I've learned a lot, which got us where we are today, or got me where I am today. And I'm still learning. So, you know,
it's a never-ending curve.
And managing 200 people is a different thing.
Yes, but I think here we see a very big difference in culture. As well.
Absolutely, yeah.
In Finland, we are taught to be ashamed of failure. If you bankrupt, it takes you 4 years, and you still kind of, when you speak about it, I can see a difference in Merituuli, how she kind of goes into this like physical reaction.
Yeah, we should talk about it.
Yes, yes, let's talk about it.
Maybe not in this. Maybe not today, but another time.
Yes, but that's the difference, I think, in culture, is that in Finland, we are very much taught to be afraid of failure, and that's why people are afraid to even try, because what if I fail? That's always the question.
It's also something to do with personality as well.
Of course.
But I think, I mean, it's already done. So, I mean, why not talk about it?
Because
you can also feel good about talking about it with others. But it was, 5 years, and then it went bankrupt, and then everybody knew about it, and I think the only problem is that I couldn't start a new business right after. And that's, I think, a bit a problem from the system to block you from trying again.
Mm. Well, it adds to the problem, I think.
Obviously,
of the shame and all of this, is that because then you kind of made feel like you're a criminal.
You
can't get alcohol license, you can't get this, you can't get that, as if you were running like some kind of...
Cast it in a board.
Yeah.
So after that, I went to work for a company, asset management company, on the marketing area. And I did that for some years, but I was always thinking, you know, I need to do my own thing. And because I don't like working for others in that
way. You have an entrepreneurial kind of personality. Yeah.
So during that time, I got to know Kultakelo. I don't know if you know Kultakelo. And they had a place in Esplanade that they wanted to get rid of. Small shop. And I said, I'll take it. I didn't have, you know, any idea what I'm going to do or any money to pay the rent or anything. But I knew the location has good value. And so they were happy to find somebody to take over. Then I thought what to open there. And ice cream came to my mind. And I contacted all the ice cream companies from Unilever to Ingman and even Mövenpick, even Helsinki Jäätelö, the Maggi. And I just said, you know, who wants to do it with me? And Ben & Jerry's had the best offer, and we opened Ben & Jerry's in Esplanade.
And it's still there?
No, it's not.
It's not
we
anymore.
We closed it like a few months ago.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Okay. Yeah. I haven't been in Esplanade, I guess, in a few months.
Yeah, we did, because Starbucks came and, you know, Ben & Jerry didn't really did much, or Unilever didn't do much in order to brand it. And
there's a lot of competition in ice cream nowadays, because when Ben & Jerry's came to Finland, it was, I think, the only ice cream that was like heavy and wasn't pumped full of air and had real flavorings and bits.
True.
And now there's Kolmen Kaverin Jäätelöt, and even the big brands have brought their own like artisan ice creams.
True. And Ben & Jerry is more focused into retail, supermarkets and stuff like that. So we still run the one in Kampikeskus.
The one in the middle, yeah.
Yeah. So Lina, my partner, is doing that. And Fafa's story is really nice, because at the same time, in Iso Robertinkatu, if you remember those telebar, that fix phones.
Yep.
And I remember coming there, and I had a problem with a mobile phone, and they said, no, we can't fix it because we're closing down. We're going bankrupt. Everybody went bankrupt at the time. So I said, I'll take the place. I didn't know what to do again, but I'll take it. And then he thought, Harry was saying, what do you want to do? And I said, I don't know, hot dogs bar, whatever. It's a great location. And then I said, let's do it together, you know, because what are you going to do? And then he says, yeah, why not? Let's do it together. And we started a company, and then we turned the place into restaurants. And then we had some conflict, because he wanted to change the ownership shares and stuff like this. And I said, you know, why now? We didn't open yet. So then he started on his own, and the place was called Pita Pita.
Yes, okay. I remember. I have a vague memory, because I've lived on that street for a long time.
Yeah. And so he pretty much took the idea that I had and started Pita Pita, and you could find there like Caesar chicken pita and chili con carne pita and stuff like this. And so instead I did something with Vegemesta in Pikuroba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we brought Vegemesta from Kallio to Pikuroba. We opened there Vegemesta, which at the time was the only cool street food kiosk.
Yeah.
Or he was the first.
Yes.
And so I started doing falafel inside Vegemesta. But since people came for the burgers, it was really hard to sell the falafel. But every time I did a falafel, Robert, the partner, wanted me to add halloumi to his pita, which I found it a bit strange, but I did it.
Finnish are very partial to halloumi.
Oh, yeah.
It's the thing to put on the barbecue in the summer.
So I, and then we had conflict. So I went back to Telebar and asked if he wants to sell, because I saw no customer. And then he says, yes, I'll sell it for you. And then I gathered the money from my current partners, and we opened Fafas.
Hmm.
And that's pretty much how it started. And, you know, when I built up the menu, I had my own favorite pitas that I wanted to add. But then the second one was the one with the halloumi, which I got an idea from Robert from Megamesta. And I just shaped it a little bit with, you know, the sweet tomato sauce and the tzatziki. And people came in, they ordered that and came back for it. And came back again, and came back again. Then more people came back for that very same product. And I was like, okay, wow.
It's working.
It's working. Then I added more, you know, falafel feta and aubergine, falafel pesto and goat cheese, and that's how I build up the menu.
Your next place you opened in Kallio, in Sörnäinen, and it was a building which I remember that there was a guy who made pita breads there. He had a pita machine.
True. Street with no name, I call it.
Yeah, and it was like there was just this one door, and then you'd knock, and then if you made called in advance, then you could buy fresh pita, which you couldn't get from anywhere else.
True.
When you guys came in, what happened to the pita machine? Did you keep it?
Oh, we still have it.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
We still have it.
And do you still make the pitas by hand?
That machine still makes pitas.
Yeah?
Yeah.
In Sörnäinen?
No, in Kerava.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so after a few months running Fafas in Isoroba, I sort of saw that there is something great going and people love it. And the guy who was making pitas was running into difficulties too. So I couldn't let him go or sell it to somebody else. I had to protect the pita bread so that we keep on going. So he was an Israeli guy, by the way. So I went there. And that was the place I was working when I came here in Finland. I was working there for a few days until I realized that I hate this.
You hated being a baker or...
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough work.
It
factory
is.
Factory is a tough work.
Yeah.
I was actually frying falafel by hand and packing them to Turkish restaurants and stuff like this, which is kind of funny. I did it for 3-4 days and I stopped. So I came there later and we negotiated and I bought the place and he went on a long holiday. And then we decided to split the place in two and make a small kiosk. And that was a street with no name. Seriously, nobody walked on the street.
Yeah, such a weird little...
It was nothing.
Yeah.
And everybody thought that, you know, this is crazy. But I wanted to go for it because the rent was really low. And we were already running the pita sort of line. And so we opened a small kiosk and people started to come all the way. And we didn't have credit card. So we said, listen, you could get the pita and pay us next time. Or you could, because it was busy, you could go and get the cash and come back. And people actually went up all the way to Kurvi and bring cash. And it, amazing.
Yeah.
Seriously, I mean, it was amazing. Because I wouldn't do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. And,
well, it means that there was not much there to eat.
Obviously.
That's what it means, that there was demand and nobody even knew that it existed.
And Fafas at the time was super cool. It was sort of the first thing that we see quite a lot of it today. You know, music playing, employees are happy, the food is made, you see how they make it, and it tastes good.
Mm.
So it was really, I mean, a super great concept, and it still is.
Nyt mennään tässä välissä mainoskatkolle. Kuuntelet siis Ruokatuntia. Meillä on tänään täällä vieraana Fafasin perustaja Doron Karavaani ja kohta kysellään vähän siitä, että miten rakennetaan ketju ja miten laajennetaan sen kanssa maailmalle. Ruokatunnilla mukana Stockmannin Herkku.
Tervetuloa takaisin Ruokatunnille. Ihana First Aid Kit, joka tänään esiintyy todellakin Kulttuuritalolla ja toivottavasti siellä kuullaan tämäkin kappale.
Pipsa on lähdössä kuuntelemaan. Multa oli jotenkin jostain syystä mennyt tämä ihan täysin ohi, mutta ihana ilta talossa siis Kultsalla.
Kyllä, siellä nähdään.
Tänään Ruokatunnissa puhutaan pikaruuasta ja yrittämisestä ja meillä on vieraana täällä Doron Karavaani, joka on siis Fafas-ketjun perustaja ja omistaja. Ja mahtavaa, meillä on tullut myös tänne viesti studioon laatikkoon kysymys. Ja vaaditaan englannin kieleen, Doron puhuu parempaa englantia, mutta ymmärtää hyvin suomea.
Mm-hmm.
So you have 22 places and counting, but you're constantly opening new Fafas around Finland. And somebody in our message to the studio wanted to ask you, when will Fafas come to the northern Finland and especially to Oulu?
So, yeah, well, we are looking at location in Oulu. Yeah. So I guess we'll open this year for sure.
Hyviä uutisia siis, Oulu.
Joo, saa vinkata sinne.
Seinäjoki is coming, Kuopio's coming.
All over Finland.
Yes, pretty much.
Saa vinkata hyvistä liiketiloista sitten sieltä Oulusta. Niin sitä nopeammin, kun liiketila löytyy, niin Fafassi siellä avautuu. Mm.
So you operate Fafas in a franchising kind of...
As well,
yes.
Yeah.
And what does that mean?
It means you can expand faster and less, obviously less risk. But the idea is really to expand faster and get it to the places people want it. Yeah.
Was that something you always wanted to do? Was it in the plan to do it as a franchise, or did
not
were you
in the beginning?
No.
I think you need to have a proven concept and a good business model that would actually work for franchisees or for other to operate it. And it's something you build up. You don't decide I'm gonna do it. I mean, you may face some problems later if you start right away without checking. Thanks.
Well, it's very much like opening a restaurant, isn't it? Because people always ask, like, well, what's the key to a successful restaurant? And I think it's like in this is the same, is that the person who does it is there and is there with the blood, sweat and tears in the beginning at least. And you kind of motivate the employees and you find out what your business really is about. It really takes the hours, and then you can maybe start to give power away. Or how do you feel about that?
Well, I'm quite sure that the McDonald's owner is not really making burgers.
But maybe he was he in the beginning?
Yeah, maybe, maybe. But I think very quick he leaves the kitchen.
Old McDonald.
But what I mean, you need to have a business model that is easy to train others to do in order to keep the quality of the product. It's all about the product, but for us, I think it's also about the staff, it's about the location, it's about the atmosphere. And then you have the product with it. So for us, I think it would be easier to control, from a main office, all the franchisees, than open it ourselves.
Hmm.
But we do open ourselves. I mean, we're going to open in London ourselves, and we're opening in in Redi ourselves. But you also give others the opportunity to run a business and make money, which is another good value.
Do you ever go as a surprise to your places? Do surprise calls?
Mystery shopper.
I have mystery shoppers.
Oh, really? You do?
Yeah,
oh.
I do. We do. For me, it's difficult to do it because I see many problems in 1 minute, which are only the problems that I create, if you know what I mean.
Yes.
So I'm not the best one to do it properly.
That's fantastic also to be aware of that problem, that you're able to objectively look at yourself and know that you start to micromanage and it doesn't make any sense.
Most problems are in people's head.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we have forms and people go there and they go over the forms, and if there's something that is not right, then they fix it. But yeah, I would be the worst because I give critics, even restaurants that I go, I was just giving you about public. Yeah. So I visit the restaurants to eat and take friends to, but that's it.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I've heard somewhere that you need to open 3 places when you're building a chain before it actually starts bringing in revenue. Does that make sense? Did it go like that with you?
No, I think we made revenue 3 weeks after we opened.
Hmm.
Yeah. What was the secret? Why?
Hesari came and they saw me dancing, singing, making food, and they wrote a story about it. It was a weekend, and on Monday I had a line.
That's incredible.
Yeah, and it didn't stop, really.
Last week there was a story about 2 Syrian refugees who opened a restaurant in Töölö in Helsingin Sanomat. My mom said the next day, she said, let's go, I want to go eat there. And I said, let's give them a couple of weeks.
Right.
It's going to be insane.
Yeah. Right.
Those 2 girls, one in the kitchen, one in the floor, they're not going to manage. Hesari wrote a thing like this. Everybody's going to go there. But that's fantastic. There is still that media still wields such strong power.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I know a lot of chefs came at night to eat at Fafas.
True. They had special dishes. Mm. I would make special dishes for them. So I had chicken liver. I would have chicken hearts.
I would love to have chicken hearts and liver in a pita bread. But is it a product that you feel that if you had it on the daily menu, people wouldn't buy?
Yes. Mm. Yes.
You should have a special offal.
It offal, might come at some point.
Yeah,
but
hopefully.
I think at the moment, I mean, we look at beetroots. We look at grilled paprika or lamb as a product, or reindeer patty. As something, because you know, you need to bring something that people actually know and eat.
Yeah.
So also, you need to bring something that many people could cook. Mm. And chicken liver are not the easiest one.
True. You should really have to train the person who does that. Yeah. But so you have opened a Fafas in Tallinn.
Yes, we have just recently, like a few weeks ago.
Okay, and how is that going?
It's a success thing. Right away, they call me from the newspaper, which I actually guide them to talk to our partner there, Sandro Ricci. And now we're opening the second location.
Sandro Ricci, is that a code name for Richard McCormick?
No. I thought about it too, but it's not.
So it's
he's
another Ricci. Another Sandro Ricci.
Now we're opening a second location in Viru Keskus.
Okay.
And the third location would be in, I think, in T1, which is a new shopping center they're building by the airport. So we'll have probably four locations this year in Tallinn.
It's going fast.
It is.
How big is your team that you manage the franchise and these new openings with?
Let me count. Jack, Tanya, Ville, Thomas, me. Five.
I thought you were going to say something like, you know, 20
plus. Let me tell you something.
Plus.
Before we moved to our new office in Kalasatama, we were two. Hmm. And that was just September last year. So we were really efficient.
Yeah.
We focused on opening stores, doing the things right, not to go crazy about changing the menus, because it's not that important. Because if you have a good product, stick to it.
Yeah.
And now we are building a management, not just for Finland, but also for going international.
Well, yes, because you mentioned London.
Yeah, London, Sweden. So we have partners in Sweden, and we'll open two locations this year in Stockholm.
Mm-hmm.
And London is a huge challenge because it's the central of the world, you know. And I think if you succeed there, you are global.
Yeah.
So that's why we want to do it.
Yeah.
I want to do it. It's a great challenge. It's a Finnish brand, really, and we can make it.
Is that how you're going to market in UK, in the UK, as a Finnish falafel brand? Or you're just going to be...
No, but if they will interview me and ask where we started, I'll say Inisoba.
Yeah. Well, have any of the big restaurant chains, Royal Ravintolat or Restomax, tried to buy Fafas away from you? Yes?
Yeah, we sat in a table. Yes. Mm. Yeah, we did. A few times, actually.
Yeah.
But, no. I think we have something good going, and it's nice to be part of it.
And they're good in the Finnish market. Maybe going abroad with one of these big Finnish restaurant chains would not be possible.
I think I can do it better.
Mm.
I am more international than them. So, you know, I'm easy to meet people, easy to make things happen. That's what I'm good at. So, Sandro in Tallinn and the Baltic, and Niklas in Sweden. And now I'm building up the network in London. So, yeah, it's great. It's fantastic. But you need to feel good about it.
Yeah.
You don't need, you know, if you start taking stress and then you lose it. Then you just lose it. I think
it's
all about building up the network.
Yes, and keeping it simple.
Yes.
Not starting to do too many things.
Very much. Yeah.
Is there a Fafas that you can buy in supermarkets? Is there falafels or pita breads? Can you buy Fafas somewhere else except in the restaurants?
No. But it's something that we're working on, because the brand has value. You know, if I put chickpeas, dry, even dry chickpeas on a shelf in K-Market, and you have rainbow chickpeas 1 kilo and fafas chickpeas 1 kilo, a lot of people would go for the fafas because they think that this is the one we use to make our product and so forth. So that's a brand value. And I guess we will take the advantage of doing stuff. We got contacted by different retail markets, and we're going to do it.
Yeah. Because the pita bread sells, used to sell at Heinon Tukku, but it doesn't anymore, right?
No, because it's sometimes I drove it myself at the time, and my time is limited now.
Yes, and also why give your product to a competitor? Right?
Yeah, we do. We do. We really are. You know, I don't look at the competition at all. I mean, if somebody wants to buy pitas from us, I'll sell it to him. I don't go to places to try and get ideas for copy a product. And I think that's how you become original, you know, when it comes out of your head. And that's what Fafas is.
Yeah.
Like I said, we didn't have the menu. We created the menu with the customers.
Yes, I bought 1,500 pita breads from you for Flo 1 year.
You did?
Yes.
And we were selling as well.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I think
it's before you. No, maybe you were already at Flo. I don't remember, but yes.
So I think success is not about, you know, it's about attitude as well. And I think Fafas managed to be neutral, you know.
And I love the ad campaign that you did where you invited local small businesses to advertise and you paid for their airtime.
We're going
to
do it again.
You are?
Yeah.
When is this going to happen?
We just spoke to Mikko, so we're going to do it again, but we want to do it better. So those who actually advertise get some results and not just... Last time we did it was just about the idea. The idea was cool and that got some media coverage, but now we really want people that hears the ads goes and get whatever they want to market.
Do you think that's something that you would do maybe in the other countries that you're going to expand to, in Estonia or London?
I think that the big part of Fafas marketing budget would go back to the community in a way, helping others, because at least I feel good about it, and I think that's the way it should be.
Yeah. Absolutely. Ruokatunnissa tänään puhutaan ruokayrittämisestä, franchisein ja tämmöisen emporiumin rakentamisesta itse asiassa. Meillä on vieraana Doron Karavani, Fafas-ketjun omistaja ja perustaja. Fafas tosissaan avattiin vuonna 2011 tuossa Isoroballa, ja ravintoloita on nyt jo yli 20, ja laajeneminen on kiivasta. Käydään nopealla mainoskatkolla, kuunnellaan vielä yksi biisi ja sitten palaamme kohta asiaan.
Ruokatunnilla mukana Stockmannin Herkku.
Tervetuloa takaisin Ruokatunnille, Stevie Wonder in the City, koska kaupunkikulttuuriinhan liittyy tämä ruokatunnin aihekin tänään, eli ravintoloiden avaaminen, pikaruokaketjun perustaminen.
Meidän vieraana on tänään Doron Karavani, joka on siis perustanut Fafasin, ja Fafas on ihan mieletön tarina siitä, miten yhdestä ideasta voi kasvattaa näin ison ketjun. Ja kuten Doron sanoi tuossa äskeisessä pätkässä, niin ajatus ei ollut vielä ihan silloin ensimmäistä paikkaa perustettaessa, että tästä tulisi joku päivä franchise. Ja nyt laajentumista on tapahtumassa Lontooseen, laajentuminen tapahtui jo Viron suuntaan, ja vain taivas on rajana ilmeisesti.
Kyllä, siltä vaikuttaa. Doron, you started a very interesting competition in the fall or beginning of the year with AW2 Architects for students of architecture, where you're looking for a standalone concept to launch Fafas with a drive-through. Did we get it right?
Yeah, you did. Very right.
And it's going to be in Sörnäisten Rantatie.
Yeah, the first piloting. Yeah,
yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you know that?
I checked through all the... There's really good details on your webpage on how to submit your own idea.
Right.
Unfortunately, I am not an architecture student, so I'm not allowed to...
Yeah, I guess we needed to give some address to it.
So is it really going to be in the ABC station in Sörnäinen? Because that's closed now. What's happening with that ABC station?
Well, the gas station will stay.
Yeah.
I'm not so sure if they're going to turn down the other building or not. But that's not where we're going to be. We're probably going to be just on the corner of that corner.
Okay.
The competition idea came, I think, first because we were at the International Franchising Fair in New York, and we just walked around and see what's going on. And in the U.S., everybody, it's all about driving because people don't leave the car.
Mm.
And it's a little bit here also in the countryside. I mean, you have ABC stations, and in some cities, that's all you have.
Mm.
So we needed to have a, you know, we needed to have an option for you know, being in a shopping center or being on the street, single units. So if you go to some cities, you need to have it as an option that, yes, we could build a drive-through here. And also, I think when we go to Pietarsaari, which is where my woman is from, the only thing you could get is Hesburger. Or
Koti Pizza is in a lot of
yeah, but they don't have drive-through.
Oh yeah, that's true.
So it's only Hesburger.
Yeah.
And then you think, why? You know, that's where it started. And whatever we do, even from a design point of view, we try to use customers or people, again, giving back to the community in order to get something in return. So we thought that why not do this competition with Aalto University. At the end, it went to nationwide, so all the architectural students can do it or participate. And it would be cool because some of the drive-through are still old-fashioned. You still go and need to speak to a speaker, and they take your order, where you could actually do it digitally and then by the number go and pick up your food. So there's a lot to develop. And so we thought that, yeah, this would be a great idea. And I think the next competition might be for a new business idea.
Hmm. Is it's going to be adjacent to the ABC. Do you have some sort of business with ABC, possibility to launch into other ABCs, or is it open to...
Well, S Group is a huge company. It's pretty much control the whole Finnish market. You know, if you go to smaller cities or other cities in Finland, you need to cooperate with S Group.
Mm.
So we are cooperating with S Group in that sense. Yeah. Mm. But it's cool because work with professionals, really.
Mm. Well, the deadline for the competition is on the 14th of April, so a few more weeks to go. And the main prize is 7,500, and then there's also second and third prizes. Have you already gotten some admissions? Have you had some chances to check out the ideas of students? And how do you feel of them?
No, I don't. I don't know.
Okay.
But soon we're going to open this up. And
okay.
Then... we do a ceremony in one of Fafa's restaurants, and it's going to be all over the news. I seriously don't know how many participants or where it is standing.
Do you have a deadline? When are you going to actually realize this first station? Flow? Because it's a great walk-by place.
Yeah, but it's not going to happen before 2020, probably.
Okay.
Yeah. I know more about how much it costs.
Hmm.
Hmm. So, but yeah, it's one of the coolest things that we're doing, this competition and the Radio Helsinki stuff, sponsoring the junior football teams. We sponsored like 25 teams last year. This year we'll sponsor 50 teams.
Oh, great.
So young, like, you know, 5-6 years old kids playing football with Fafa's brand on it. What's the idea? I don't know, but it's just a cool thing to do. And perhaps they might know the brand when they get older.
Mm.
And then, yeah, they sponsor that. I'm going to eat there.
Exactly. you seem to sprout ideas. Do you have any other business ideas except for Fafa? Something completely different, or another fast food chain? Or are you just focused on doing this?
Well, it's no secret. We are doing something with Roslund, where we want to take burgers into a multi-units too. So now we are sort of designing the concept together with Roslund. So the name will change.
Okay.
The product menu will change, but the quality will remain. And that's the most important.
Please don't take away the horse burger. I love it. Maybe that's not a very...
I didn't see it on the menu.
Okay. It's not always on the menu. You it's a specific it menu. Thing.
Yeah, I think so. And, I'm
Mutta and tässä, it's maybe not a good national burger. Not exactly. A lot of people yeah. love eating yeah. horse, but I do.
Mutta tässä ruokatunnin skuuppi Fafas on tosissaankin siis ostanut Roslundin ja he ovat auttamassa heitä leviämään maanlaajuiseksi burgeriketjuksi.
There's quite a lot of burger competition going on, but...
Yeah, and it's very much different than Fafas. I mean, Fafas really... it's more kind of feminine in a way, and vegetarian and vegans and stuff like this. And we want to have something else too, because of the advantage of where we are, location-wise and network-wise. Mm. So we could really build up something good. And burgers are now a really trendy thing. So yeah, yeah, and it's fun.
So where's the next Roslund gonna open? Give us a scoop. Come on.
Well, the first one would be in Hieta, because we're going to change it. And the second one, there are two. There's one in Manka Koivutie, which is in Tapiola's second metro station. There's going to be Fafas there too.
Mm-hmm.
So that's cool. And Erikinkatu would be the third one, nearby Corona Bar.
Burgers at night?
Pretty much.
Nice.
Pretty much. So I think it's, you know, it's cool. I mean, it's not really... for the business, that's not what drives. It's about doing stuff. So, yeah, I'm really glad to. I'm happy to be here.
I'm so happy that you came as our guest in Ruokatunti. It's been such a pleasure talking
to
you.
You called me on Friday or something.
Yes. Yeah. We are not known for being very organized when it comes to certain things. Sorry about that.
No worries.
Eli tänään ollaan puhuttu tosiaan ollaan puhuttu ketjuista, franchisingista ja Fafasin perustaja Doron Karavani on siis ollut tänään vieraana. Ja kuunnelkaa ihmeessä On Demandina, jos haluatte tämänkin jakson uudelleen kuunnella. Ja On Demandina löytyy myöskin meidän viime viikkoinen Markus Samuelsson jakso, jossa me puhuttiin hänestä kokkibrändinä. Ja Radio Helsingin nettisivut löytyy tästä aiheesta artikkeli. Käykää lukemassa se siitä, että miten tämä Markus Samuelssonin story oikein menikään. Ja mehän pistettiin viime viikolla pystyyn Insta-kilpailu ja voittaja on löytynyt. Hän voittaa itselleen The Red Rooster Cookbookin. Onneksi olkoon Karoliina Laukola, joka vastasi, että hänen mielestä tämän hetken mielenkiintoisin kokkibrändi on Linnea Vihonen tuosta Yes, Yes, Yesistä.
Kyllä, ja mä olen samaa mieltä.
Kyllä, Linne on ihana tyyppi ja todella ilolla seuraan kyllä hänen uraa itsekin.
Kyllä vain.
Onneksi olkoon. Sitten uutisia on vielä nopeasti, ehditään käymään läpi.
Kyllä, Yrjönkadun hotelli St. George alkaa valmistautumaan. Sieltä pussit on otettu pois talon seinästä ja toukokuun toinen päivä on mainittu avajaispäiväksi.
Oi, miten jännittävää. Ollaan siellä heti kyläilemässä ikkunasta sisään.
Kyllä vain. Sen lisäksi Ponttuksessa alkoi lounaat, eli Com-teatterin vieressä Korkeavuoren kadulla sijaitseva Pontus-ravintola tarjoaa pizzoja, antrekoota ja vegaanisia vaihtoehtoja ja myös lounasviiniä 8 € per lasi.
Siitä Ruokatunti tykkää.
Kyllä, olin Ponttuksessa syömässä ensimmäistä kertaa lauantaina ja siellähän oli koko Helsinki.
Ah,
se on the place to be. Suosittelen lämpimästi.
Ei ihme, että mä en sitten ollut siellä.
Niin, no se ei tavallaan, no ei. Siellä ei ollut koko Itä-Helsinki, Meri tuli.
Just näin.
Joo, tämä ei ollut eritelty.
Joo, ja Nokka täytti 16 vuotta. Ruokatunti onnittelee.
Kyllä.
Ja odotetaan tosi kovalla innolla sitä, että pääsee sinne itsekin syömään. Nimittäin he ovat päättäneet hioa konseptiaan vielä enemmän villiksi. Listalta löytyy muun muassa Ari Ruohon itse kaatamaa hirveä. Ja sisustus on myös uudistettu vielä enemmän tukemaan tätä heidän fiilistä.
Kyllä,
ja,
eli kaikki minkä sankoin joko Nokkaan. Siellä on fantastista ruokaa. Meikäläisen harjoittelupaikka.
Ai niinpäs onkin, joo. Ja muistakaa vielä tulevana viikonloppuna teurastamon herkkumarkkinat ja astia kirppis. Ja
kyllä
lopetetaan Supertrampiin, koska milloinkaan ei ole väärä hetki soittaa Supertrampiin.
Ei, ja sitä soitetaan aivan liian vähän.
Ruokatunnin tarjoaa Stockmannin herkku.